Leviticus chapter 4, on page 82 in the Pew Bible. Leviticus chapter 4, this is the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and lay his hand on the head of the bull, and kill the bull before the Lord. And the anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it into the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle part of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense before the Lord that is in the tent of meeting. And all the rest of the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all the fat of the bull of the sin offering he shall remove from it, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. Just as these are taken from the ox of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the skin of the bull and all its flesh, with its head, its legs, its entrails, and its dung, all the rest of the bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place, to the ash heap, and shall burn it up on a fire of wood. On the ash heap it shall be burned up. If the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and they realize their guilt, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, the assembly shall offer a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and bring it in front of the tent of meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be killed before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull into the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is in the tent of meeting before the Lord, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar, at the base of the altar of burnt offering that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all its fat he shall take from it and burn on the altar. Thus shall he do with the bull, as he did with the bull of the sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. And he shall carry the bull outside the camp, and burn it up as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins, doing unintentionally any one of all the things that by the commandments of the Lord his God ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish, and shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering, and all its fat he shall burn on the altar like the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. So the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin, and he shall be forgiven. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering in the place of burnt offering. And the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat is removed from the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish, and lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on top of the Lord's food offerings. And the priest shall make atonement for him, for the sin which he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. This is the word of the Lord. The book of Leviticus is at the center of the Pentateuch. What is the Pentateuch? The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also known as the Law. Leviticus is its center. Genesis and Exodus on the one side, Numbers and Deuteronomy on the other. And this is not a coincidence. It is intentional on the part of the author, the ultimate author being God. The first five books of the Bible are carefully structured so that Leviticus is at their center. Both Genesis and Deuteronomy, they end with a blessing on the 12 tribes. Both Genesis and Deuteronomy end with a blessing on the 12 tribes by one who dies outside the land of promise. At the end of Genesis, Jacob blesses his 12 sons from outside the land. At the end of Deuteronomy, Moses blesses the 12 tribes, also from outside the land. Furthermore, Exodus begins with a march through the wilderness and ends at Sinai. And Numbers, it begins at Sinai and ends with a march through the wilderness. There is a carefully structured pattern in Genesis through Deuteronomy. We have a clear pattern: blessing, wilderness, Sinai, and then Sinai, wilderness, blessing. Blessing, wilderness, Sinai, Sinai, wilderness, blessing. And at the center of this pattern is Leviticus. We might think of Leviticus as the least of the first five books, but the structure of the first five books tells us that Leviticus is the most important of the first five books. The center of the first five books of the Bible is Leviticus. And the center of Leviticus is the Day of Atonement. The book of Leviticus itself may be divided into two halves, and at its center is the Day of Atonement. The first half of the book of Leviticus leads up to the Day of Atonement, And the second half of the book of Leviticus follows the Day of Atonement. And the first half of the book, it concerns approaching God. It concerns the question, how may we approach God? A question that finds its resolution in the Day of Atonement. And then the second half of the book, the second half of Leviticus, concerns communion with God. What is the purpose of our approaching God? What is the purpose of the Day of Atonement? Communion with God. That is what Leviticus is about. Leviticus is about your union and communion with God. How God opens the way for His people to enter into His presence and to dwell with Him. Leviticus concerns how you may approach God and how you may have communion with God. Leviticus is about God's making a way for His people to enter into His presence, to enter into His dwelling place, there to worship Him, there to enjoy Him. The Day of Atonement, at the center of Leviticus, at the center of the Pentateuch, it reveals the hope of God's people. It concerns something unique. There is something unique that happens on the Day of Atonement. There is something which happens on that day that does not happen on any other day. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest enters into the most holy place. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest enters into the most holy place, into the unveiled presence of God. And the high priest does this on behalf of the people. The high priest, he bears the names of the 12 tribes upon his forehead. He is the representative of the people, so that as he appears before the Lord, they appear before the Lord in him and with him. The high priest's entering the most holy place, it reveals the hope of God's people. It reveals your hope, that you might also enter in. Not once a year, but forever. That is the goal, to enter into the most holy place, to enter into the unveiled presence of God. That is how glory is described at the end of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 21, the dwelling place of God with man, the holy city Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God, that city, Revelation chapter 21, verse 16, it lies foursquare, its length and width and height are equal. There is only one other space. There is only one other place in all Scripture whose length and width and height are equal. It is the most holy place. The most holy place of the tabernacle. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. That is the goal. That is your hope. Scripture ends with the fulfillment of this hope, with you as God's people entering into His city, with you as God's people entering into the most holy place, into the unveiled presence of the Lord, there to dwell with the Lord forever. That is your hope. That is what you are waiting for. It is a hope revealed in Leviticus. The first half of Leviticus concerns approaching the Lord. How may an unclean, unholy, sinful people enter into the presence of the Lord? How may you, an unclean, unholy, sinful people, enter into the presence of the Lord? How may you approach the Lord at all, much less enter into the most holy place of His presence? The first half of Leviticus is clear. You cannot approach the Lord without blood. You cannot approach the Lord without blood. Blood is necessary. Sacrifice is necessary. In Leviticus chapter 4, concerning the sin offering, you are reminded again that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the sacrifice of another on your behalf, in your place, you cannot dwell with the Lord. The sin offering of Leviticus chapter 4, it anticipates the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. The sin offering reveals what is necessary for entrance into the house of the Lord, into the dwelling place of God. In Leviticus chapter 4, there are two movements. The first is a movement toward the presence of God, and the other is a movement away from the presence of God. In Leviticus chapter 4, there is a movement toward the presence of God, but there is also a movement away from the presence of God. We see the movement toward the presence of God in the blood of the sacrifice. The blood of the sacrifice, it represents the life of the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14, "For the life of every creature is its blood is its life." A sacrifice is required, a life is required. Blood is required. But where is the blood sprinkled? It is poured at the entrance to the tent of meeting. It is sprinkled 7 times before the veil of the sanctuary. And it is placed upon the horns of the altar before the entrance to the most holy place of the sanctuary. The blood of the sacrifice, it opens the way to the Lord. The blood of the sacrifice, it opens a way to the Lord in the most holy place. That way is covered in blood. And for whom is that way opened? It is opened for the one whom that sacrifice represents. The one bringing the sacrifice, what does he do? He lays his hand on the head of the sacrifice. And what did we say that means? To lay one's hand on the head of the sacrifice. It is to demonstrate that the sacrifice represents that one. That the sacrifice is being offered on his behalf. That the sacrifice is being offered in his place. The one who lays his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, he is united to that sacrifice. And so the blood of the sacrifice, it represents his life. If you were bringing that sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice would represent your life. And so the blood of the sacrifice, it reveals your hope. For the blood of the sacrifice is brought into the presence of the Lord. The blood of the sacrifice is brought into the presence of the Lord. It is saying to the one who brought that sacrifice, who was united to that sacrifice, who was united to the blood of that sacrifice, where the blood is, so also I shall be. The blood is brought into the presence of the Lord. That the one united to that blood might also be brought into the presence of the Lord. The blood of the sacrifice, it reveals your hope. That where the blood is, you might also be. That is a movement toward the Lord. But there is also a movement away from the Lord. There is another movement in the sin offering, a movement away from the presence of the Lord. In the sin offering for a priest and in the sin offering for the whole congregation, a bull is offered, and the carcass of the bull, all the rest of the bull, it is carried outside the camp. And outside the camp, it is burned. While the blood is brought into the presence of the Lord, the carcass is cast outside the tent. The carcass is cast outside the camp. And there it is burned away from the presence of the Lord. Just as the blood entering into the presence of the Lord is a revelation of your hope, so also the carcass being burned outside the presence of the Lord is a reminder of what is to come on the day of God's wrath. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, not only do we see God's people being brought into the city, not only do we see God's people entering into the presence of the Lord, but we see the rest being cast out of His presence into outer darkness. We see others being cast into an unquenchable flame and fire. There are two movements in the sin offering, a movement toward the Lord and a movement away from the Lord. The sin offering is revealing what you deserve. The sin offering is revealing what is necessary for you to enjoy life in the presence of God. What is necessary for you to enjoy life in the presence of God? The death of another. The death of another apart from the presence of God. What is necessary for you to enter into the presence of God? The death of another who dies apart from the presence of God. The carcass being burned outside the camp, it reveals what you deserve. It reveals what all mankind deserves. Death outside the dwelling place of the Lord. For your sins to be forgiven. For the way to be opened. The death of another is required. The death of another is required in your place. Another to suffer that wrath and curse for you. Another whose blood will bring you into the Lord's presence. Leviticus chapter 4 reveals your hope. Leviticus chapter 4 reveals what is necessary for the accomplishment of your hope. But notice in Leviticus chapter 4 what it is that is being forgiven. What is being forgiven in Leviticus chapter 4? The unintentional sins of the people. Well, maybe the intentional sins of the people are forgiven in chapter 16 on the Day of Atonement. But when you turn there, you discover on the Day of Atonement as well, it is the unintentional sins of the people that are being forgiven. What is Leviticus chapter 4 telling you? What is Leviticus chapter 16 telling you? What about those sins that aren't unintentional? What about those sins that are intentional, that are done willfully? What is Leviticus chapter 4 telling you? Is Leviticus chapter 4 telling you that a sacrifice is sufficient for only some of your sins? But that you must make atonement for the rest. What is Leviticus chapter 4 telling you? What was Leviticus chapter 4 telling the people of God? That a better sacrifice was required. That a better sacrifice is required if all your sins are to be forgiven. Leviticus chapter 4 is not enough.
This sin offering is not enough. A better sacrifice is required. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All the bulls and goats of the world, their blood offered will not take away your sins. A better sacrifice is required.
Leviticus chapter 4 reveals to you the necessity of a better sacrifice, a greater sacrifice. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Leviticus chapter 4 points you to the greater sacrifice of Christ, the greater sin offering offered once for all, not for some of your sins, but for all of your sins. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Christ is your sin offering. For your sake, he was cast outside the camp. For your sake, he was cast outside the presence of God. For your sake, he endured the wrath of God, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that by his blood he might bring you into the presence of God. And through his death, the veil was torn. Through his death, the way has been opened. The people of the Old Covenant did not drink the blood of the sacrifice. But you do. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. In the Old Covenant, the blood of the sacrifice, the people did not drink it, but you do. By faith in Christ, you are united to the blood of Christ. And where his blood is, so also you shall be. His blood covers the way that he has opened to God. By faith, you are united to that blood.
And so you are able to enter into the presence of God. You are able to approach God. You are able to dwell with God. You have communion with God.
You have come here this day with sin. Unintentional sins. Sins done in ignorance, but also intentional sins. Sins done knowingly and willfully. Behold the body and the blood of Christ. Behold your sin offering. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There is only one sacrifice by which the sins with which you have come this day may be forgiven. But the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient for all your sins. You may trust in Him by faith and know that in Him they are all forgiven. By His blood you have the forgiveness of sins. By His blood you may approach God, and by His blood you have communion with God. Not just now, not just one day of the year, but forever. Amen. Let us pray.